5%. Added in, you have the recapture rate, which the assessor's manual puts at 2.5%. The assessor's manual says, if you've got a building that's going to last 40 years, you want to earn back 2.5% of the value of that building each year. Thus, after 40 years, you'll be able to recapture the whole value of the building. And then the assessor's manual says, here you also have to calculate the effective property tax rate, which in this case is 32% times $5.1996 per $100. So if you live in, if you're in Branson, as this building is, you'll pay $5.1996 pennies for each, in property tax, for each $100 value of your building. So that means if you just want to earn back enough to pay the property tax, you're going to have to earn 1.664% of the value of your building back, just to pay the property tax. So the assessor's manual says, to get the capitalization rate, you take all these three and add them together. So you take the 1.664 that you need to get back property tax, you add that to the 2.5%, and then you add that back again to the market rate of return, which I'm suggesting has to be at least 6%, because if it was any less, there's no reason you should mess with the building on Highway 76 and earning less than 6% when you can buy a corporate bond from AT&T and never even think about it. So I'm saying this number has to be at least 6%. If you add those, if you add those together, the 6% plus the 2.5%, that gives you, well, we can calculate it right now. The 6% plus the 2.5% plus the 1.664 leads to 10.164. So the capitalization rate should be 10.164% under using this methodology. Then, now that we know the net operating income of the 200,096, we divide it by the capitalization rate, the 10.164, then expressed as a decimal, and that should give us our property value. So if you take 200,069, our net operating income, divided by 0.1016, that gives us 1.969 million. So 1,969,183, which lands right in the middle of my calculations using the sophisticated method. Does everyone follow?
Mm-hmm.
All of that? All right. So that's why I'm arguing that a lower bound, I'm suggesting, say 1.8 million, an upper bound of 2.1 million, using the methodology straight out of the assessor's manual. We came up with the 1,969,183. So again, that falls well, securely within the two bounds. That's my argument for why I think the current valuation, which is 2.8 million, is too high.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. So to make it easier to follow, I did put this on your computers if you look at Timber Point in the notes. Mr. Davis came in Friday evening to work on a solution. He and I spent well over an hour. We get out the assessor books. I've actually taken the income and finance class with the IAAO. I did pass the test, and so I got, you know, all the points for that. He's making it very difficult, and he's using some assumptions. He's blending all sorts of things in. He's got a number he wants, 2.1 million, but that's not what the numbers are showing. So his tenants pay for their own electricity, and he's deducting that from his numbers. And so that's not supposed to come out of there. So the way that it's done for the assessors, the PGI that comes from his numbers is 393,410 per Tim Davis, and it's right on his paperwork. We take off 5% for vacancy, which at the last meeting he said there was no vacancy. But I actually went out there Saturday and took pictures. I took pictures of the meters. On each end, there's like 25 or 30 meters at each end of the building. So, and I went into four of the stores and talked to them. Yes, we pay our own electricity. So that is not an expense to be deducted out. Then after you take the 5% out, you're at 373,739. then you subtract out 10% for the expenses plus 5% for insurance, which gives you 317,678, which is my NOI. And that's standard. So then to get to the cap rate, Mr. Davis was there with me when we found on, I think it was LoopNet, they have lists of all the cap rates they're charging around here, and the closest was a 7.49. I have to subtract the effective tax rate, which is 32%, which is the commercial 32%, times the levy, which is 51996. And then, as he pointed out, he needed the 2.5% capture rate, which brings us to 8.33% for our cap. And that's, assessors cannot use taxes in anything. You know, it has to be an unloaded cap rate. And then, like I said, we added back in. And these buildings typically are between 8 and 9% for the cap. And so by dividing that out, it brings us a value of 2,877,072. Or actually, I'm sorry, the numbers that we get are 3,813,661. My value in the cost method is 2,877,072. So using his numbers, he's saying that it should be worth 3.8 million, but I actually, by the cost method, have it at 2.877.
Tim?
Yeah. So if we, I'll start address Susan's discussion of the capitalization rate. Susan says we should use a cap rate of 8.3%. Let's think about the implications of that. Suppose we use the cap rate of 8.3% and work backward to see what kind of return that yields. So start at 8.3%, subtract.
But why would I look at returns? I'm only valuing your building. I'm not valuing your business sense.
Yeah, but investors look at returns. So
but this is
8.3%. Okay. Subtract 1.664, the effective property tax rate. Subtract 2.5, the recapture rate. That means the investor. That means Susan thinks an investor should be happy getting 4.136 rate of return, 4.1% of the rate of return on this building. So if you think, if this rate of return to the investor is 4.1%, add the 2.5% for the recapture rate, add the effective property tax rate of 1.664, that yields a capitalization rate of 8.3% that Susan says we should be using. But obviously, that's not realistic, because if you're offered investing in this building and you get a return of 4.1%, nobody in their right mind is going to do that when you can buy blue chip bonds that are paying more than that. If you say you can invest in this high risk building, it's going to give you 4.1%. You can invest in an investment grade blue chip bond from one of the top companies in the country, you get 5.75%. Every rational investor is going to go for the bond. Saying that investors should be content with a 4.1% rate of return is just not reasonable.
Okay, the effective property tax rate, is there any variance? Okay, the recapture rate is already set. The effective property tax rate is already set.
That's
so the
right.
Only variable in the cap rate is the rate of return?
That's right.
Okay. Is your other argument that they're not using a net operating income? You're disputing the
his NOI is incorrect, because he's counting in, like, as he said the last time too, the numbers on his little chart there are the utilities, and they're not paying the utilities. The actual tenants are.
Okay. We'll get there. Okay, tell me again what your argument is that the net operating income is wrong.
The net operating income is wrong because he is subtracting out the utilities for those individual stores. And those owners, those renters, are paying their own utilities.
Okay.
And so the utilities that we are, the expenses that we have in, would be 10%, and that covers anything that the owner of the actual building, maybe he lights the hallways, you know, maybe he makes some fixing problems, but it's a standard 10% off for expenses, and then we included a 5% discount for the insurance the guy pays for the building.
Okay. So, but the primary thing is the utilities, is you think adds to the NOI that should be included?
On his chart.
Yeah, how much were the utilities on
here? How much
here?
Were the utilities?
And how much is common area?
Yeah. So the utilities that they actually paid, utilities on this chart, utilities fall under this line item, utilities and operating costs. The actual utilities are $2,068 for electric or electric and common areas, $8,189 for sewer, $9,169 for water.
Okay, so that's about $20,000.
Yeah. Those are costs that they pay. Those are costs that the landlord.
Those are all the common area.
Okay, and those are deducted to get your NOI is what you're saying, and you think it should be added back in.
Right, because again, in the assessor manual that he keeps pointing out, and the class I took, all you take out are these three components: this vacancy, and then the expenses and the insurance. We're not taking out the utilities because he's not paying utilities. And that was a big part of his argument of what the NOI was.
But I think he's saying that he is paying utilities.
Even
if the tenants pay utilities, you're saying that there's part that you pay. So the tenants are paying part and you're paying part?
The tenants each pay their own individual electric meter themselves. These numbers are just common area. So we have outside lights all the way around the property. We have inside hallway lights. We have canopy lights. All of that is in the electricity, and then water and sewer is included free to the tenants. We pay for it. So these numbers are landlord costs, not tenant costs passed through to the tenant. Follow me? I know where you're coming from. They do have their own electric bill, but they also have a common area electric, and we don't. The electric company charges them their electric bill. This is what the electric company charges the landlord. It's not that much money, but I just want to point out that's what it is.
So in your calculation and your calculation, I still see almost $100,000 discrepancy between the NOIs. So is there something else that would show that discrepancy?
No, like I said, because we spent over an hour, like I said, in my office with what he had and what I had, and I couldn't make it work because he wants to have this 2.1 million number. And we went at it always. We even did adjustments on forward years to see to get if something could be discounted, anything to get to his 2.1. But we can't because the building is worth more than that. And so, again, when an assessor has to figure based on income and finance, I can't use interest rates. I can't use amortization. I cannot use mortgage payments. All my cap rates, everything has to be unloaded, and then later things can be loaded back.
Here's my confusion, Susan.
Yeah.
If he's done all of this work, which takes into account other things, I understand that, and that's more sophisticated than the tax commission is, all right? But the tax commission has said this is how you do it if you're an assessor. Okay, so I'm just trying to figure out where the differences are.
Right.
Your difference... If the effective property rate is set, if the capture rate is set, then isn't it correct that the interest, how do you determine the interest rate providing market return on investment to get the cap rate there? In other words, do you agree that this is the formula, right?
When he was in there talking to me, and it's in the assessor manual, he says he wanted 2.5. But again, we added that back in. If you look at my numbers, we took the cap rate at 7.49. We took out the effective tax rate, and then we added in that 2.5 recapture, and so that brings it to 8.33. That's where that number came from.
Okay, but his difference, which he's using the 10 point, is the interest rate providing market rate of return on investment, correct? Is that?
I don't know what he's doing, honestly. I can only go with what I was taught as an assessor, how you value the building, because, again, The assessor is, I'm not assessing someone's business.